following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Final day of SEC Media Day is beginning to file out, but we're still here. It's Thursday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Man, oh man, welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. You got some empty tables off to our left and to our right, but not here on ESPN 106.7. Still excited to bring you two more fantastic hours of coverage live from Digital Drive in Tampa, Florida for the 2026 SEC Media Days. I'm Christian Griffin. As I mentioned, to my right, my man Trip Upton. We got our guy Brandon Gurgley back in the ESPN 106.7 studio, holding everything down for us throughout the week. Probably the most difficult week of producing, I would say, just based off of everything that we have to move around, to alter, to change because of interviews, both scheduled, both randomized, both recorded, both pre-recorded, both live. Again, everything that he has to work through. We greatly appreciate him and the seamless flow that has been on the line at the bare minimum here on ESPN 106.7. My man Trip Upton again off to my right. Happy Thursday, sir. Beginning to wind down not only media days, but the energy as well. I know that we're running on some caffeine to power us through here this afternoon.
Yes, 100%. Happy Thursday. It's been a great week. It has been so much fun, and you know, excited to continue, keep on keeping on throughout the day or the show today.
Yeah.
Bringing you the best coverage from Digital Drive here in Tampa, Florida. The sun is shining outside. There's a couple clouds, but honestly, it makes it look a little bit more picturesque over the waterfront behind us. So you can't complain for much different. My sources are telling me that there's been a little bit of rain this week in the Auburn Opelika area. I'm very shocked it did not follow us down here, given our luck.
It did a little bit, but yeah, but that's
for like
an
hour.
That's more of the Florida weather, just doing what Florida weather does. But yeah, twist our arm if we had to sit behind a or turn around to look out the window and see the waterfront every single day with the big boats out behind us. I think that would be a decent life to have to live. And again, before we dive into to too much, again, a big time thank you to the SEC for how they handled the media as well. This has been a very, very, as it always is, a very high class, very professional way of going about everything, not only from the setup, which is very, very easy. We've talked about that all week long with the main media right here in front of us, the electronic media. You basically, for our standpoints, you go in front of our desk, you take a left, you take a right, you go straight about 100 yards, you make another right, and you're right there, rather than some of the other places, again, doing what you can do. But how fantastic is this, being able to have, again, the main media doors right in front of us, where Steve Sarkisian is speaking right now. And we were about to go on air, and all of a sudden, again, not that Digital Drive is quiet by any means, but it is nowhere near where it has been throughout the week, just based off of some of the teams not caring as much about whatever their schedule may be, the teams that they don't face here today. Auburn could not be more different. You face three of the four teams other than Texas. You face the three others, and we'll dive into a little bit more about that as the show goes on. But all of a sudden, there was a giant, almost a rush into the media room, and it was like, okay, what's up? Oh, it's Sarkisian. His
yes.
Players are shortly there to follow. It's Arch Manning, who, if you heard us talking with Doug on the Max Roundtable just a few moments ago, the Heisman frontrunner, again, just based off of the popularity contest and the talent as well. Two of those things, very complimentary of one another. in terms of the preseason. But there are some quotes from Sark that we want to get to, and an article that was written this morning from some quotes he had over the last handful of days that I'm sure he will be asked about in just a few moments. But really excited to break everything down here. Again, a major shout-out to the SEC for taking care of the media. We've had some fantastic events over throughout the week. We were able to go to the home of the Lightning and watch
do a little soiree.
A little shake hands, kiss babies, get to introduce ourselves to some really cool people. They have fantastic food, as you could probably guess. And then last night, being able to go to Raymond James Stadium, the home of the Buccaneers.
Fist bumped multiple Pirates last night. Kind of a weird. We walk in and they got the red carpet rolled out for us. And they're going, arg, arg.
Yeah. We did get arged by grown adults.
Yes.
I guess I can't tell if some of them were men, but the costume, the mascots, I could not.
No.
Could not tell. And we also learned about your, not fear, but your very dislike for mascots.
Look, it is a, I am just not someone, like, there are a couple. Aubie, awesome. I have never had a problem with Aubie.
Not a mascot.
Right, Aubie's just a tiger. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. People might confuse the two. I got to make it, set the record straight.
Good save.
Right there. Of course, yeah. And then Blooper, who's awesome. I love him as well. But, like, when I was a kid and we'd go to, like, Georgia Tech football games and Buzz would walk up, buddy, I would clam up.
There's some scary mascots in college football.
There's some cool ones, but, like, if you were to put me next to Mike the Tiger, buddy, I'm not cool. Like, I will – hi.
Yeah.
Do not get a picture with me.
No.
Yeah. But we – funny enough, we were playing some cornhole last night with our good friends Gavin Baxley and Daryl Dapperidge, and one of the Buccaneer mascot came over, Captain Fear – and was giving Gavin some tips on how he needed to be throwing his cornhole. I don't know if you and Daryl saw that, but...
I don't know. Captain Fear, is that...
That is the name, yes.
Captain Fear, I believe, went 0-for-4 on bag tosses. So
yes,
I don't know if there should be a whole lot of tips given to Mr. Baxley.
Yeah, he had a good showing last night, for sure.
He did. It wasn't as good as your boys on the lawn on ESPN 106.7.
Heck yeah.
Have to represent, have to take care of business. We won't let everybody know what happened in our one-on-one game, but our
you know what? We
game.
There it was a game of runs, and we
second half team.
We were a second
fell well short.
Yeah, we made it look good. We scored some in garbage time, and maybe got a turnover and made you at least think about it. The upset alert may have been sent out on ESPN notifications.
It got cut down to a 10-point game, and it was like, okay,
three and out here.
Christian just punted. Here we go. And then you go three and out. I come and score. All of a sudden, it's back to a 17-point.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah, that was about it. But it was a good fight.
2v2 was
we needed to find the board.
We did, in fact, take care of business. And so for anybody out there wondering, yes, your boys on the line did what they needed to do last night, taking care of a couple different teams, playing some cornhole. But again, a fantastic event last night at Raymond James. And again, that kind of is just a big-time compliment to the entire week. But all of our coverage here on ESPN 106.7, we talk about the thanks to the SEC, the compliments to the media, that everything was able to work its way the way that it did. The reason that we are able to do what we do this week is because of the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn for fueling us up, for sending us down, and for, right after the show, for fueling us back up to Auburn, Alabama. Because again, no shows off, no days off. We grind here on ESPN 106.7, so we will have a really fun show for you tomorrow. We'll get into a little bit more about that as the show goes on. But we mentioned it. Media room right here in front of us. Very populated, I would be willing to say, because of the burnt orange that has made its way into that main media room. LSU and Arkansas went this morning, and we're going to have a fantastic couple of interviews for you throughout our program here this afternoon, because again, Auburn plays LSU, Auburn plays Arkansas, and Auburn plays Mississippi State, who just finished up a lot of their media availabilities as well, I believe working their way to the electronic, and then calling it a day as Texas now has made their way into the main media. But again, as always, if you want to be a part of today's program, feel free. The text box is always open. Phone lines are closed today, but again, we'll be wide, wide open tomorrow for a very, very fun free-for-all Friday of On the Line, and that will be a free-for-all episode to a T. But the text box is always open at 334-784-1685. Again, 334-784-1OTL. And one of the biggest questions that I would be willing to say Steve Sarkisian is going to have to answer is the fact that he made some comments a couple of days ago, and this is an article written by Yahoo Sports, and he says, quote, "There's got to be consequences." And obviously, a very catchy tagline got me to click on it this morning and read all about it. But it's basically Steve Sarkisian saying that he has some big-time frustrations on college football's biggest problems in sports. And again, it's been something that we have heard all week long about the NIL, about the tampering, about the Protect College Sports Act, about just about everything in terms of the individual pointing and picking and choosing their discrepancies with college football. Yet when it comes to these main sorts of issues, you feel as if it's almost unanimous in agreement that there's an issue. It feels as if you're almost still playing this waiting game, waiting for something to permanently happen. Again, there are steps being taken, but the SEC, Greg Sankey, made that clear on Monday. They appreciate the steps that are being taken. However, we don't like it this way. Steve Sarkisian talking about, hey, there's got to be some sort of solution, because right now, if nobody fears consequences, they're just going to keep on doing what they keep on doing.
Yeah, it's a problem right now in college football. I mean, I talked so much about Pete Golding yesterday and his blatant tampering that he did, and he had a, you know, he had the quote, and then people are split on it. You know, some like it, some hate it, that, oh, you know, it's, you wouldn't quit your job when you're interviewing for another one. But again, I think athletics is just a different beast when it comes to contracts and agreements. But I think that I know that Texas means well. They do.
Total cutoff, and I'm so sorry. I do not mean to do this. We got our guy Brandon Gurgley back in the studio, and I was wondering why you laughed a minute ago. We're reading the text, and he said basically to chill on his guy Captain Fear, and he followed it up by defending him rather than saying that we did a good job playing cornhole. Defended Captain Fear and saying, "Well, he probably can't see." That's a conference-less take right there. That's all that I have to say.
That's like just say that. That's like complaining about NIL when you got a terrible fund. You can't complain just because you're not benefiting from it.
That was all. So I digress.
Anyway,
continue.
Yes, but I don't think Texas can necessarily sit here and be the moral upright idea of college football that there's no tampering going on. I mean, we look at Hollywood Smothers was committed to Alabama before flipping to Texas like 2 weeks after he committed. You know, transfer portal flips are such a weird thing to me mentally. I think I understand it out of high school. But if we're flipping transfer portals when you're probably submitting everything and then flipping, I don't think they can really have much room to stand on. I agree with him. There does need to be consequences, but until there are consequences, I don't know if there's a reason not to, other than just being a good person or because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, Paul. And I think that everyone's doing it. I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn is doing it, but I think that it's the, again, you can't really make a lot of change because of how college athletics is structured right now.
And I'm so glad. We just got a text in the On the Line text box, which you can always be a part of as well, at 1-685. And got a text, and I'm very glad that this got brought up. It says, very easy to say when it's Sark, who has an unlimited war chest, it feels like, in terms of NIL.
We know
that LSU and Texas, again, a top of the top in terms of overall money spent for the roster. And funny enough, he mentions that in this article. It was Steve Sarkisian who went on the Stampede podcast on July 22nd, so yesterday evening. And he says, quote, "I don't want to be worried about my fourth wide receiver getting talked to by another school's coach in pregame warmups." He says, hey, or this would be the other coach saying, hey, come transfer here at the end of the season. You're not playing there anyway. He says he doesn't like those kind of things. If you do those things, there's got to be consequences for breaking the rules. Right now, we cannot govern our own rules. That's kind of the most frustrating part of where we're at. He follows that up by basically saying, I understand that Texas is a unique program in terms of the big dollar checks that are sent their way. And obviously, that comes with the big win expectations every single year. And we've talked about them and how they've been kind of underachieving, trying to get back to that point of how, man, even an SEC championship may not even be enough for the Texas Longhorns this year. It's got to be a win, if not two wins, if not three wins, based off of where their seeding would be if they make the college football playoff, with what their end result would look like. But he even talks about, I understand that Texas is in a relatively unique spot when it comes to NIL and it comes to all of the third party and the revenue sharing and everything like that.
Yeah.
Yet even he talks about, I don't like going about doing it that way, yet it's something that we have to do as the responsibility of being that head coach. And although that sounds like a very, not a spoiled mentality, but at least, first off, at least he's aware. At least he's aware that, again, he's in a very unique spot.
Oh, no, I have to take all the Austin Finance Pros money to pay for Cam Coleman?
Right.
Oh, my life is over. I can't win a playoff game.
Yet
oh,
that
goodness.
Being said, when right now it's quote-unquote legal or it's quote-unquote illegal, but there are absolutely zero repercussions from it, you get to the point of, okay, you almost get to the golden point of, okay, everybody else is doing it. I have to be successful too, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what happens off the field. Steve Sarkisian, as is every coach in college football, college athletics, sports in general, is judged, is blamed, is pointed the finger, is praised all by the number of wins that you have in a win column at the end of the season. And so the fact that you have a head coach in Steve Sarkisian, who again is one of the main talking heads in the SEC, come out and say, yeah, I understand that this is what we're doing. I understand that we're probably getting some negative looks for doing things like that. Yet that being said, we're trying to be as successful as we can. And so because we're trying to stay ahead of the curve, we're trying to stay with the curve, it's something that we are forced to do, yet I don't like it. It brings a little bit more respect, at least in terms of the eye, because, again, it's the, yeah, well, you're doing it anyways. What choice does he truly have?
You have to be able to compete, and there's already
and
questions.
It sucks to say it like that, right?
You
like,
have to.
That's
you
the issue in college sports right now. It's the fact of he, one of the guys who spends the most every single year in terms of building a roster, is sitting there going, yeah, I hate that I have to do it this way.
And
yet that's what I have to do to protect my name, my brand, my future, my family.
I mean, that's what we see in college basketball right now with Dusty May winning a national championship and then bolting off to the NBA. And I think that it's so frustrating because it's like Georgia or Texas is a good team. They're a good program. The burnt orange recruits itself, to be quite honest with you. You know, I know they haven't had a lot of big success outside of, they had the Vince Young in the early 2000s, and you had a little bit of some jumps up while they were in the Big 12, only won it one time, a Big 12 championship in its modern iteration, and that was the year they left the conference. But I think that it's the idea that you have to, because what happens if you don't? There already are conversations of, is Steve Sarkisian the guy? I mean, that's what we talked with Doug Amos on the Max Roundtable with. You know, if you were to try and pull a Dabo, which I think Dabo's the only reason he's been semi-successful, is that he's stuck to it. He's not going back and forth, and even he's losing staying power in the sport. If the Texas Longhorns were trying to not do that, I mean, it'd be, you say goodbye to the yellow brick road, and there would be a conversation there for sure.
Got a text in the On the Line text box as we take a break here in the first segment on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Right hand salute, sir.
Yep.
It says, aren't the basically adding on, says, and aren't the coaches able to transfer to whatever program they want to whenever they want to? Very good point. Again, just diving into the things that you don't want to do, but you have to do in terms of just being able to stay alive. It's a man-eat-man world right now because there are absolutely no repercussions for anything, and that is a big topic of conversation right now in the main media room with Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns. We will take our first break here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. We'll come back, flip to another team that obviously has a little bit of drama as well, the LSU Tigers, the Bayou Bengals. It's absolutely a very dramatic scene, but maybe not dramatic. No more social media for Mr. Lane Kiffin. We'll talk about that before we get an LSU insider to come on here and talk a little bit about what he expects to see from the Tigers in 2026, why he's not necessarily a fan of the early kick inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, and what the pressure looks like for Lane Kiffin. Is it reasonable, or has the media done too much? We'll discuss that when we come back, as we're just off and running here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. In 1804, two explorers set out to see what was beyond the Mississippi River. Meriwether Lewis and William Clark led a small expedition into the unknown. Across mountains, across rivers, across lands no American had mapped. Along the way, they were guided by Sacagawea, a young Native American. Her knowledge helped the explorers survive. After 2 years and thousands of miles, they reached the Pacific Ocean. Their journey revealed the promise of the American frontier. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family-owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here live on Digital Drive, final day of SEC Media Days here in Tampa, Florida. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Having a fantastic day, having a fantastic week. And, man, it sounds weird to be able to count down the hours of what our coverage looks like, at least on SEC Media Days. But really, really excited about everything that is up and coming. Again, this now will be able to give us so much content to be able to discuss the amount of people that we were able to meet that we'll have later on in the show or later on in the year talking about all of the teams that Auburn will play in 2026, being able to get some of the insider perspectives and just to provide as much content as we possibly can. Again, we take so much priority in gathering as many outside information, as many outside voices as we possibly can, because by no means do we think that it's not fun for us to sit here and talk about everything. It's a lot more interesting when you're able to talk with some guys, talk with some girls that have a little bit more knowledge on that individual team than we do. And so be able to build those types of relationships is really, really cool. And we're so, so appreciative that we are able to do that here on ESPN 106.7. We mentioned Texas going on right now in the main media room. Some of the players now making their way in and out of the main door, about to get some of their quotes again out for all of the media. But we turn our focus now a little bit to this morning, because Auburn does not play Texas in the 2026 season. I wouldn't complain if Texas found a way to play Auburn in the 2026 season, because that means it's in Atlanta. That means it's hopefully in a pretty dang good bowl game, or that means it's possibly in the college football playoff. And so we can take that for what we will. But the LSU Tigers stepped to the podium in Lane Kiffin this morning. We got to see all three players that he brought, obviously making a very, very big presence with that. But Lane Kiffin had some things to say for quite some time, and I know we're going to dive into that, but a 20-minute opening speech?
About 19:30. I was down there for it as you were helping getting us checked out, packed up, and it was a yap fest. It definitely was a stump speech of a He talked about, you know, the normal stuff, and then he added his opinion on every single major issue in college football of the day, knowing he's about to get questions about it, because it was, how close can I get to 25 minutes, and then just pray an Ole Miss reporter does not get called, and that's what happened.
The difference between Alex Golish and Lane Kiffin was the fact that Alex talked for about 10 minutes, but he just gives such in-depth answers that there were only five questions able to be asked, because he answered them and then some. He answered the follow-up question to the follow-up, and then, as you mentioned, the question that hasn't even been thought of yet, to where Golish was only able to be asked five questions. The exact opposite for Lane Kiffin.
The longest in SEC Media Day history, by the way.
Holy cow.
The shortest, Mike Leach, 5 seconds. All right, questions, go.
You would expect nothing less.
From the Pirate.
Let's bring an expert from the LSU Tigers to talk to us about what we should expect to see from the Bayou Bengals in 2026.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here and spending some time with us as we wrap up our coverage of SEC Media Days. What a fantastic journey it's been. And now we bring in an expert to talk about a team who's had to wait quite some time to get to hear from his head coach, yet he may be the most excited one to be able to speak during SEC Media Days. We have Raymond Parch, who we just figured out the third as well. Again, fantastic story on that side of thing. ESPN LSU, Lafayette, or is it Lafayette? Just so that way I know how to.
It's Lafayette.
Okay.
Lafayette.
It's Lafayette.
I know we have the Alabama, we have the LSU, both of those. So wanted to make sure that we
got
to make your fans happy.
Yes, you got to make them all happy.
Very much so. Very much so. Well, before we dive into anything that Lane Kiffin had to say, we'll talk about some of the players, what we expect from this team in 2026. The Tiger Bowl is back. Auburn, LSU, you've taken a couple of years off. What does this rivalry mean to you, and how excited are you to have it back?
I think it's one of the most unique rivalries in the SEC. If you think about the history, there's been games where there's been like five missed field goals and extra points. There's been a game where a building caught on fire. Yep. There's the earthquake game, right? So over and over again, the one thing that you can say about when LSU and Auburn play on the football field is that it's going to be interesting, it's going to be weird, and it's going to be memorable, right? And when they went to this new rotation, that was such a bummer, if you will, to not have it. And look, I am not a LSU fan. We broadcast our LSU games. We cover LSU. But for me, just as a college football fan, sure, and as someone who covers the sport and then talks about the sport, not having the LSU-Auburn game was weird. It was just weird. And it's great to have it back. Now, what I will say is that when October 24th comes, LSU fans are not going to be happy because the game's at 11 o'clock in the morning, right? So when they did the schedule, I was like, oh, LSU-Auburn, we're going to get that back. Oh, that's got to be like the old school CBS,
the
2:30, 3 o'clock game. Or maybe it's going to be primetime on ESPN or on the Deuce, and we get 11 a.m. So at least it's on the schedule. It's a start. You would like it to be a time where both fan bases can be a little bit more, have a little bit more liquid courage, if you will, to make things exciting. But look, Jordan-Hare is a great venue. These are two amazing programs that have rich history. And when they face off, man, it's just it's always something unexpected happens just over and over again. Something special and memorable happens. And you need more of those types of matchups in the SEC, in college football altogether.
Raymond, looking at kind of the comments today from Lane Kiffin, kind of the filibuster type opening statement, so that there was only four questions asked, and I didn't get to check in on his electronic media room. I don't know if you did, but do you think that the questions were fair? I know he got that one question about the Vanity Fair article. Do you think the questions were fair, and do you think he answered them appropriately?
Any question's going to be fair. I'm old school in this approach. It could be the 2+ decades as a print journalist. Asking tough questions is part of the job, right?
Sure.
And if you didn't want to get pushback, if you didn't want to cause a scene or cause drama, then you never should have done the Vanity Fair article to begin with, period, right? And Lane likes attention, and he has been on social media, and we'll get into that, you know, because now he's off of it, which I think is a smart move by him, if being honest. I always compare him to, like, he's the Steve Spurrier of the troll era of internet troll, right? Because he's very comfortable in that space. He likes that space. So to that point, do I think it's a fair question? Yeah, it's a fair question. This is SEC Media Days. Everyone's going to have a question, and it's only fair to be asked, right? Do I think it was intentionally him coming on there and doing a filibuster and talking for more than, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? That was done with intention, right? That's I'm going to dominate as much time as I can on the air, at the podium.
Right.
And he gave some great stories. He gave some great analysis. He gave you some good stuff. It was very well measured. It was good content. I loved the fact that he talked about expectations are supposed to make you uncomfortable, and he's built to being that way. So that kind of gives you an idea of why he decided to take the job that he did. He even admitted that he did it the wrong way. Like, he tried to do it one way, trying to make everyone happy. He couldn't make everyone happy. He regrets that. So I thought there was some candor there from him that was nice. I thought he answered the questions. I was not expecting Hulk Hogan to be brought up today. As an old school wrestling fan, I appreciate that. Okay. You know, Hulkamania going to run wild on you, brother. You know, I was hoping he would go into his Hulk impression.
Would have been fantastic.
That would have been the cherry on the top. But look, Lane's kind of squirrely, right? You saw it. You see him every time. You ever notice every time he's in front of a camera or he's at a podium, he's got nervous energy. He's just a guy that's probably got some anxiety, right? He's just built that kind of way. He's a little wiry. He's a little anxious at all times. I thought he handled himself well. I thought he handled the question well. You know, he didn't sidestep it, right? He was like, well, he made a joke, made people laugh. That's a very good, you know, mechanism that you can use there. And then answered the question, and he was pretty honest about it. So I would have liked him to have answered more questions. I think only four. I don't love that, but I kind of expected that, if that makes any sense, dealing with him in his time so far at LSU. I'm not surprised by that.
Raymond Parts with ESPN LSU here, taking some time to join us on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Almost said the Friday. No, only Thursday here, but our final day here on Digital Drive. Mentioning Lane Kiffin, you can do as much as you want before September. You talk about the wins off the field, but everybody knows it. The Auburn fans definitely know it with Alex Golish in year one, that you can say the right things, you can do the right things in recruiting, yet you're going to be judged based off your win-loss record. Lane Kiffin's in a very unique spot because it's year one as in O-N-E, but it's also year one as in W-O-N. You almost feel like, is there an unnecessary amount of pressure that the media is putting on Lane Kiffin in year one, or do you feel as if it's warranted because of the transfer portal, because of what felt like the open bank account, and then again how everything was handled?
When it's reported that your roster is north of $40 million, when you left a team that you had in the playoff that was one win away from playing a national championship, when that gets to an immensely messy place, when you do Vanity Fair articles, when you do all those things, and you left a team that was literally in the playoff, a team that had a chance, a legitimate chance of winning a national championship. I would argue if Kawan Lacy doesn't get banged up in that game against Miami in the semifinals, Ole Miss is probably playing for the national title. Now, would they have beaten that Indiana team? I don't know. That's a separate discussion. But you left that. You burned things to the ground. You caused a firestorm nationally, regionally. People in North Korea heard about this, right? So then you spent all the money on the roster, and then you hit the transfer portal extremely hard. You got nearly 40 new players. So it's LSU. Like, the expectation is to go to the playoff. Now, I thought when he got hired, the expectation should be making the college football playoff. I think that's a realistic expectation with their roster, who they have, the coaching staff that they have. They retained Blake Baker. They retained the godfather of DBU, Corey Raymond, who's a great recruiter. They did a lot of nice things, right? You spent all that money, you should be going 10-2 and making the playoff. That should be the expectation year one. This isn't what it was even 5 years ago in college football. You know, I was always brought up, you got to give a new coach 3 years. Like, you got to give him 3 years to go through the recruiting cycles, establish his culture, so forth and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's not what it is now. You're not getting paid the money that you're getting paid. You're not shelling out more than $40 million, reportedly, for a roster to go 8-4, right? 9-3 and miss the playoff. So I do think it's fair. Do I think some of the national narrative that I've heard this week on Digital Drive / Radio Row about that it has to be national championship or bust, I think that's silly. I think that's being done because Lane Kiffin is a lightning rod.
Sure.
Right? What a realistic expectation should be, I think this team is going to go 9-3. They have a chance to go 10-2. If they do that, they make the college football playoff, more than likely host a game inside Tiger Stadium. I think that's a great way to start off the new tenure of Lane Kiffin here in Baton Rouge.
We know some big-time smiling faces of guys like Sam Leavitt, guys like Jace Brown, guys like Eugene Wilson that are making their way over to Baton Rouge. What are some of the other big-time names, whether that's on the offensive side of the football or defensively, that not only Auburn fans should know, but college football fans should know, that can make an immediate impact?
Jordan Seaton.
Sure.
The transfer from Colorado at left tackle, right? Like, their offensive line play, even with NFL guys the last couple of years under Brian Kelly, was poor. Just was. It wasn't very good. And they couldn't do fundamental things like run block. So getting someone like that who's a big monster, that's going to be a huge thing. The wide receiving room is going to be interesting because you mentioned, Eugene Wilson III, and they hit the portal hard on wide receivers. We still don't quite know who has emerged there.
Okay.
Right? So that's going to be interesting, but in his system, someone's going to emerge, and they're going to have playmakers. A guy that could have a monster season for them is the guy that LSU brought with them today as Tre'Davious Green. First of all, have you seen this? Have you seen him?
Ginormous tight
okay.
end.
You know, when you're like 6 foot six, 6 foot seven, and you're being defended by a 5 foot 11, 190-pound defensive back.
I'm not great at math, but.
That's a matchup nightmare. For me, I think the defense is going to be, you get Whit Weeks healthy back, you get Woodland, you get Cooley on the back end. They also hit the transfer portal hard there, as well as T.J. Dottery, who they also brought, who led Ole Miss in tackles last year. You bring him in to shore up the linebacking core. That's going to be another key guy. But really, when you think about how things are going to go down for LSU, it looks like they looked at the fixing the offensive line. They added playmakers on the edge. They haven't been able to run the football. And when we think of Lane Kiffin, we think passing, passing, passing. If you ever noticed his offenses, whether that's at Alabama or USC or Florida Atlantic or Ole Miss, you know what else they do really well? Well, they run the football. And that you have to have that part of the offense. So I think like someone like Harlan Berry could be like a breakout star for LSU this year. But the big question mark for them, and it's still a question mark for me, look, we haven't seen Sam Leavitt go out there with his wide receivers. Like, you know, he mentioned at the podium today that he's back there with practice, but he was limited. He didn't take really part in spring ball when we went out there for spring practices and watched them. He has all the tools, and we know Lane can adapt his offense. Look at all the guys that he's worked with, from like Blake Sims to, you know, whoever else in his career. Different sizes, different skill sets.
Yeah.
He tweaks his offense to suit the signal caller. I mean, very subtly, he does that. Sam Leavitt's an immensely talented player. But he also turns over the ball a little bit, right? And he's coming off Liz Frank. So you tell me he's healthy, that's great. But how many real reps is he going to have healthy in fall camp to develop the rapport and the chemistry with his wide receiving core and working with his center, Braylon Moore, who's the Virginia Tech transfer from a year ago, who's coming back for LSU for another year? That makes a difference, right? Like, if he's not 100%, you look at that early season schedule, yeah, Clemson, they should beat Clemson because I think Clemson's on the decline. But you go to Ole Miss in week three. Then you come right back home. You have to take on Texas A&M. That's a rough stretch. And then on their schedule, you think about it. That's why I say 9-3, because they have the back end of that schedule. You go to Auburn. That's a tricky game. We already talked about that, right? Coming to y'all's place. But then they have a four-game stretch to end the season where it's Alabama, Texas, at Tennessee, at Arkansas. That's kind of brutal. Like, you'd look at them and you go, okay, most teams you go, they go 9-3. That's a successful season. But could this be a situation for them where they suffer an early loss at Ole Miss or against A&M, maybe get tripped up at Auburn? 11 a.m. kick, scary. I'm telling you, Tiger fans are scared. Like, that's a scary time for them.
It's so funny you say that, because you feel like the 11 a.m. kick usually favors the road team, but it also gives a little bit of a benefit to the underdog. And you would imagine right now that Auburn would be a bit of an underdog.
They would be a bit of the underdog. They will have not that much to lose. LSU could be in a position where they have a lot more to play for. And then, oh, you stub your toe.
Yeah.
On the road at 11 a.m. And it's different for the road team because their schedule gets thrown off because they're having to play early, which means they're eating their breakfasts at earlier. They wake up. It has a domino effect. But, you know, could we see a situation where LSU gets better as the season progresses? Right? Maybe they're better than Ole Miss at the end of the regular season, but maybe they have that loss to Ole Miss, and maybe Ole Miss is 10-2, and, you know, Ole Miss is 10-2, LSU's 9-3. They're going to be on the outside looking in. So it's going to be interesting.
We're talking with Raymond Parch of ESPN LSU out of Lafayette, Louisiana. And talk to me a little bit about Auburn transfer Malik Blockton, a hometown guy from Pike Road, Alabama, just outside of Montgomery, and is now going to be manning the defensive line for Lane Kiffin and the Tigers.
Yeah. You know, every move, I want to give Lane credit here. Every move that he made, look, we focus in on him leaving Ole Miss the way that he did. He still wanted to coach a team while going to go to, down to hang out with the wife down the street of somebody else. Right, right? And that was never going to work, right? Anyone with common sense. But I will say every move that he's done, with the exception of public relations-wise, but I'm talking about roster construction and staff construction, has been impeccable. Like, this is a guy that knows how to put together a staff. This is a guy who knows how to put together a roster. This is a guy that understands the transfer portal. He understands how to appeal to the modern athlete.
Very much so.
Right? Like, he has things that work really, really, really well. The anxiety and the way that he tried to leave and the mess, yeah, that was a full-blown dumpster fire floating down a flooded street kind of thing, right? Like, it was terrible. But he keeps Baker. He keeps Corey Raymond. We make jokes about it. He brings in Coach O as, like, some sort of assistant, which means that O's just a glorified recruiter for him.
Yes.
Which is perfect.
And a great one.
And a great one because yeah. O was great. The best thing, O was always, he was a good D-line coach. He was a great recruiter at Miami, USC. When he was a head coach at Ole Miss, he was a terrible head coach, but he was a great recruiter. You know, Houston Nutt won with all his players after he got fired. He was a great recruiter for LSU as well. You know, Lane knows how to do things. Bringing in Charlie Weiss Jr. with him from Ole Miss makes a lot of sense. Poaching guys here and there, getting transfer portal guys. They were very selective. Like, it wasn't a situation where it was like, oh, it's desperation. Like, I remember when Brian Kelly first took over. He was not ready to do the transfer portal. And one of the things that he did was, that BK did that I thought was a mistake, was he let go of Baker. He let go of Corey Raymond. Okay, now he hired them back. But by that time, the damage had been done.
Very much so, yeah.
Right? And he went out into the transfer portal, and instead of going to get primo guys, and this is not a slight on them, he was going and recruiting guys to be starters from southeastern Louisiana, from McNeese, from Syracuse. This is the SEC. You can't do that, right? Like, you got to go recruit other SEC guys or go recruit Big Ten guys or recruit Big 12 guys or ACC guys. Like, you can't win in the SEC by recruiting players that – are starting at a lower level. Like, you can't do that. Like, you can have those guys as depth pieces.
Right.
Hey, maybe that guy will be your nickel corner, or maybe that guy can be your number three or number four wide receiver. You can't do that. So, like, BK didn't understand that. Kiffin didn't do that, right? Like, he goes out and he gets Ole Miss guys. He goes out and gets Colorado guys. Like, you know, so he looked at it and said, I'm going to after the best of the best. And they spent the money. And they're hoping that it's going to pay off in a big way. And he spent the money on the staff, too. He's put together a great staff, one of the best staffs in the SEC. He's put together one of the best rosters in the SEC. And to circle back to your question, that's why the expectations are where they are. And that's why from a national perspective, it's like, well, there's no reason why you shouldn't be playing for a national championship. Well, that's not how it works, but there should be a playoff team. That's the expectation, year one. And you left a team, once again, you left a team that was one win away from playing for a national title. So immediately, the expectation is for you to be competing for national championships. And by the way, Nick Saban won a title here. Les Miles, of all people, won a title here. Played for another one. Coach O, of all people, won a title at LSU. Brian Kelly didn't. That's why he's not there. Right? Like year one, you go play for the SEC championship, you get skull drugged by Georgia. Okay. Jane Daniels. But you could never, BK could never figure it out. Special teams were a mess. He fixes that. Defense was a mess. Fixes that. Then the offense was a mess. He could never figure it out. I think Lane has a good idea about that, but expectations are through the roof right out the gate.
Raymond Parch, ESPN LSU out of Lafayette, taking some time to join us. Greatly appreciate your time, your knowledge, your insights as well. We're looking forward to a fantastic up-and-coming season. And again, you mentioned that 11 o'clock date. Hopefully, there's a little bit of a scare. We wouldn't complain on our side if things were a little bit exciting. But
that would be a feather in the cap for Mr. Golish.
Auburn loves Lane Kiffin in a very interesting way. It's almost like the big brother, little brother relationship where you throw enough jabs, and Auburn's had their success over Ole Miss in the past. And so I'm sure they'd love nothing more than to be able to take that first jab at his first year in Baton Rouge.
They would love nothing more than that. And, oh, by the way, LSU's at Ole Miss also at Tennessee, two of Lane's former places.
No way there's drama that
no,
throughout the season.
No
right?
way.
No
Lane
way.
Kiffin?
So
come
no
on
way.
Now.
No way. It's going to be electric.
Raymond, we appreciate your time. Looking forward to, again, a great rest of the day here. Wrapping up everything on Digital Drive on day four of SEC Media Days. Congratulations on everything that you've gotten, and hopefully you grab some more good LSU content and let everybody know where they can go to catch up with it.
Yeah, man. Appreciate that, brother. They can follow me at RP3_sports on social media, but we can catch everything at ESPNSouthwestLouisiana.com. That's our website, and you can catch us on ESPN Southwest Louisiana on YouTube as well. We stream all of our four live and local shows there. So excited, man. Can't wait to have you guys on the station as well again when we get closer to the game
Let's
week, man. So
Let's
appreciate the time, brother.
Awesome. Sounds great. Raymond Parch, again, LSU, all big-time knowledge. That's why we bring in the experts here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break. We'll come back and quickly wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, live from Digital Drive in Tampa, Florida. The drive slowly starting to not close its way down, but beginning to take the tablecloths off the tables. And not us, though. We still got another hour to go. We still have a couple fantastic interviews that we have for you. It was LSU and Arkansas in the morning. Texas and Mississippi State still to go. And for some reason, I feel like it was a bit strategical for the SEC to put Texas at very last, to make sure that everybody that wanted to stay was going to stay, so that way it wasn't just a Monday through Wednesday type deal. You see the guys that don't necessarily cover Texas, to talk about Texas, kind of heading towards the exits, but a lot of these guys still sticking around because you still have some fantastic opportunities to get some really good quotes. I mean, Texas, again, bringing Trevor Goosby, Arch Manning, and Colin Simmons, and then Mississippi State bringing Anthony Evans III, who's a really, really talented receiver, Kelly Jones and Kamario Taylor, who, again, we are both very, very excited to see play in the SEC, except for when Auburn has to make their way to Starkville. But still, so much excitement to go here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. In hour number two, you're going to learn a lot about this Arkansas team. We got our good buddy John Neighbors of Locked On Arkansas and Inside Arkansas, or Locked On Razorbacks and Inside Arkansas joining us, as well as Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, basically to be that closer as he always is, but a big time closer. This is game five of the college, or not the College World Series, there is no game five, but of the World Series, and I'm trying to tie it back
this
into
is,
college.
This is Mariano Rivera coming out.
In game five, you're up 3-1
yes.
in the series. You're also up 2-1 in the game. And you gotta get it done. You gotta close it out. This is a big time responsibility for Chris Gordy, but I think he's up for the challenge. Talk all things Auburn, all things SEC. Let him be that closer to get you and to get us wrapped up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. But again, it's been a fantastic week. We're so grateful for everything that we've been able to do. We'll talk a little bit more about that too to end the show here this afternoon. But again, a big time shout out to the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn for making all of our 2026 SEC Media Day coverage possible, the fantastic interviews that we've been able to receive, the fantastic content that we've been able to receive, and again, just being able to walk around and meet so many people. It's almost like the networking, but from the standpoint of, okay, hey, we got you on the radio now. We got your number now. Can we meet back in week three? Can we meet back in week eight and have somebody like that to discuss whoever this team is that Auburn's about to play? It's been a fantastic week. Really, really blessed and really grateful to be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun week. Definitely just, again, it's cool to be here, cool to see people. I believe that's Tredez Green in front of us, and he is a tall human being. But look, we are enjoying it. We are focused. We are having fun. And we appreciate all of our great sponsors, as you said, for helping us get down here. Make sure to check them out when you're in Auburn or any of the needs that they provide. And it's going to be a great rest of the show talking about Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Gordy doing what he does best, talking SEC football.
It definitely is. Tripp's going to make his way back over to the fridge, grab a little bit more caffeine. We're going to power through hour number two on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Two great interviews continuing. We got to double digits here this afternoon. We wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line. Hour number two coming up.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
7 hours down on the line. One more to go as we wrap things up on Digital Drive.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one of the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us and making all of this possible for us here this week. Man, we've had such a fun time. Crazy to think that we are down very much past the home stretch, it feels like. Only one more hour to go here on Digital Drive, continuing to slowly file its way out. But again, still some more content we have coming your way. Another deep dive into another team that Auburn is going to play, and we're going to be able to bring in an expert to be able to dive into it here in just a little bit. But we appreciate everybody for spending some time here on ESPNAU.com, ESPN 106.7 locally, as well as the Radio Alabama app. In hour number one, talked a lot about the LSU Tigers, as you feel like they were the ones that captured the main stage. Anytime you have Lane Kiffin, there's going to be drama. There's going to be a lot of media, but as we learned, he's no longer on social media thanks to a challenge from his son, and he's used the word refreshing. And funny enough, that's been a word that we have used a whole lot on the show, but more so talking about the other Tigers, the Auburn Tigers, as this again was a fantastic week for the guys in orange and blue. But we did talk about the Bayou Bengals, Lane Kiffin in there obviously as well. Some of the biggest quotes that he had throughout the morning during his electronic media, also his main media in there as well. And then we got to talk to our good buddy, Mr. Parch from ESPN LSU down in Lafayette, or Lafayette, depending on how you choose to go about it. Again, we'll please all parties on everything that we need to have. But appreciate Mr. Raymond for taking some time to join us. We were able to join his show earlier on in the week, and so wanted to be able to return the favor again. A fantastic insight into the LSU Tigers, not only expectations in year one, but then also just a deep dive into the team, what this Auburn team is going to expect to see in 2026. He did talk about how he's not necessarily fond of the 11 a.m. kick, and I don't really know how the Auburn fans feel about the 11 a.m. kick. Obviously, you don't want to have too many of those early kicks. Auburn obviously does, the only confirmed night game being the Florida game, which we have talked plenty about all week, but a lot of those early afternoon types of games that Auburn is expected to play, and how, although you may have a little bit of a grumbling about it, well, we're just happy these games are on TV, but with Alex Golas, you're expecting that to continue to work its way where Auburn can work its way back into the limelight, get some more of those primetime games. But as Mr. Raymond said, getting the Tiger Bowl back is a big time start. And so all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it from yesterday, from today, from hour number one, or just again, whenever you miss any of our show, you can always go back and check it out at our podcast center over at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we're going to be kind of wrapping up the week in terms of, at least while we are here on Digital Drive, we'll do a more of an in-depth recap show tomorrow from the ESPN 106.7 studios back in Auburn. We'll hear from Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He's going to give us an in-depth observation over some of the teams that Auburn plays that we were not able to get to. And we're also going to talk to an Arkansas expert to be able to tell you what's going on in Fayetteville with the Hogs and Coach Ryan Silverfield. But we are so glad to be here, and we are very thankful to be here from our amazing sponsors, the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn for fueling us up, sending us down. If you're ever in Auburn, Alabama, make sure to check them out so they can take care of you as they have taken care of us this week and helping us give you the best coverage in the Auburn Opelika area
from Digital Drive.
It's been a whole lot of fun, but we still got an hour more to go. We mentioned it. Chris Gordy, John Neighbors joining us here in hour number two. But setting everything up this afternoon, if you want to be a part of today's discussion, you can always do so at 334-784-1685 on the text box. Shoot us a text. We'll respond to it. Do whatever we need to do. Again, 334-784-1OTL. Tomorrow will be a very, very fun show. I know we've teased that a little bit yesterday into today as well, but really want you to be a part of tomorrow's show. Any questions, again, the phone lines are going to be open. The text box is going to be open. It's going to be a very fun show, almost being able to recap. We're going to dive into all of our ballot picks that we're going to fill out here before we head out.
Yeah.
Because, again, that's where you rank your teams. That's where you rank all of the positions, the quarterbacks, the running backs, the receivers, the best offensive lines, the best defensive lines, everything in that discussion. And so it will be a very, very fun show on Friday that we very much want you to be a part of, but we want you to be a part of it every single day. And the content and the engagement as well has been absolutely incredible all week long. And so we thank our sponsors, yes. We also thank the listeners for being a part of this and making this happen for us as well, to where it seems attractive for the promotions. It seems attractive to send us down. And again, we can't do it without everybody making this possible. The wind behind our sails, making this a fantastic week in Tampa, Florida. LSU and Arkansas were in the morning, and we talked again in hour number one a lot about the LSU Tigers and Lane Kiffin. Texas and Mississippi State are working their way around now. It's still crazy being able to see so many of these athletes in person. And you mentioned it in hour number one, wrapping it up, of, yeah, that's Tre'Davious Green. That's the 6'8", whatever, tight end for LSU. That's just a matchup nightmare. You have so many of these guys that are continuing to work their way down Digital Drive right in front of the SEC logo. And, again, we're in a perfect spot. We were able to talk with Mr. John Daly earlier this morning. Again, he's been working his way around. And I believe when you were in the main media, he was sitting right here able to talk to him for a minute or two and
really?
Talk a little
that's
college
fun.
Golf, talk about again, just the Arkansas Razorbacks. And so you never know who you're going to see on Digital Drive. I figured I knew better than to ask him for an interview. But I guess, Auburn Goff has had some success. But,
right.
Had that handler basically grabbed around his belt loop trying to drag him
that's
around.
That's kind of the vibe for a
very,
lot of people.
Just, very, very much so, because you know that everybody will take as much time as they can get with anybody, and rightfully so. But, again, Arkansas and LSU in the morning, Texas and Mississippi State still going right now. And we'll dive into the Arkansas-Mississippi State's back-to-back weeks for the Auburn Tigers here in just a moment. But, partner, you were able to spend a lot of time with Ryan Silverfield in the main media while we were making sure getting everything going. I was doing the checkouts at the hotel and everything as well. And you were even able to ask Mr. Silverfield a question. What were some of the overall takeaways that you were able to hear from him and hear him talk about? Because, again, Hogs not necessarily expected to make too much noise in the SEC in year one. And he almost took a little favor to that.
Yeah, I think that the Ryan Silverfield, he doesn't have the sizzle, but I think that he has the elements to make a good steak. I think that it's what he's saying, the messaging is good, talking about his, about everything needs to be intentional, everything, the effort you put into choosing what light bulbs to put in the meeting rooms, that's the same effort that you're going to put on the field. And that's such a great part of what makes a good coach is that intentionality. And, he asked a couple questions about kind of the Hogs and kind of their – how do you get back to their history? Someone even asked him, asking, hey, you're projected 15th or 16th best head coach in the league, and what, you're 5-1 over coaches in this league. Why is that? And he actually said, say that number again. There we go. I'm not going to throw a podium at you, but that number fires me up. I think he got a little bit of heat, a little bit of color from saying that, so showed a little bit of edge. But I was able to ask him. I asked him about what he learned from being a coach in the American Conference, as well as his relationships with Alex Golish and John Summerall. I think those three head coaches are going to be linked regardless. I know Alex Golish and John Summerall will be, but I think Ryan Silverfield will be as well, as three coaches that came from that conference under the same year, under the same time frame, and all within like a week of each other took the jobs that at least one other person had been assumed at another school. But I think that I like what I heard from him about that. We'll be able to, I'll have to pull that for social media or something, because I thought it was a really good response. And I see I see the parts that can make Ryan Silverfield a good coach, but does he have the edge to be an SEC coach? Does he have the SEC flavor? Seems a little too nice to be in the SEC. I don't think that, you know, it worries me kind of, not maybe a little bit less than Hugh Freeze worried me with a lack of edge, but being able to be like, hey, we got to go for a kill right here, fourth and three on our own 30-yard line. We probably should punt the ball, but if we can win the game by getting a first down, we need to do that.
I mean, I guess you don't put too much stock into to being nice. You hope that there's not too much stock put into being nice versus being other words.
Hey, maybe game time he just turns it on. I'm rooting for him a little bit. Obviously not against Auburn, but I'm rooting for him overall to succeed. Because he's, again, seems like a really nice dude, and he really cares about what he wants to do with this program.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the quarterback battle because, again, Arkansas was one of the, seven teams that did not bring a quarterback. They brought Caden Kittler, the offensive lineman, Quincy Jones Jr., a defensive edge, and Sutton Smith, the running back, all for the Hogs. But the quarterback battle is obviously a big-time discussion for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Auburn will take on the Hogs at home on November 7th. Again, that's still, that time spot still to be determined, but I believe it's that early afternoon slate that Auburn is staring down the barrel of. And funny enough, the other team that we'll talk a little bit more about as hour number two goes on, the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. Man, we are both very, very excited, very, very high on Kamario Taylor, although I'm not necessarily the most high on that team as a whole. I think Jeff Lebby has continued to build the steps needed, building everything he needs to do in Stark Vegas. You play those games back to back, Arkansas and Mississippi State, the 7th and the 14th of November. After you get done with an absolutely brutal and absolutely grueling month of October, these are two games that you have to find a way to win if you're an Auburn Tiger. You have to find a way. Again, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Samford, those should be three that build your confidence to the Iron Bowl. And if people are expecting what they're expecting to get the season started for the Tigers, a whole lot of confidence, a whole lot of success will be working their way. Let's bring in an expert to talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks, Mr. John Neighbors, host of the Locked On Razorbacks podcast, as well as Inside Arkansas. He sits down to talk a little bit of hog ball right after this.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here and spending some time here with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. We talked about the LSU expert earlier. Let's bring in a Hog expert and talk about some Arkansas Razorback football. Maybe some Arkansas basketball in there as well. We got our buddy John Neighbors of Inside Arkansas as well as Locked On Razorbacks. Boy, you're shaking your head. Not the big expert that we need to talk to.
You know, Razorbacks. I don't know if you want to call me the Hog expert. You know,
I mean,
you know, it's just like it's fine. I'll take it. But you know, some people may misconstrue it as all I'm saying.
Hey, I mean, we had Brooks Austin give us something talking about. I don't know if I can say that on air once again, but. I don't know. Maybe that's the new route that you have to take. And so, no, we appreciate you for taking some time here this morning and after this afternoon to talk up to us. It's been a very interesting day here with Arkansas. I know the Razorbacks were able to hit the main stage this morning, Trip. You were able to ask a couple of questions. Your overall takeaway from what you've seen from Silverfield up at the main media room as well as in the electronic media, the overall outlook from today for the Arkansas perspective?
Well, going into it, I don't think anybody was looking at like being concerned or worried, being, I don't know if Silverfield will do a very good job. Like everybody in Arkansas, he's a good speaker. And, you know, his wife is a lobbyist. She's been in the politic game for a long time. And, you know, he speaks well and he's going to be very driven. So as far as anything like that and not coming across the right way, I don't think there's ever a worry about it. It was more about, well, is he going to do anything that moves anyone's needle?
Right.
You know, is it going to be anything that he says that kind of like double takes, or is he going to have the viral moment? And not to say that's important, but, you know, it's just, you're going the same day as Texas and LSU, you know, two teams that are a lot more interesting and people want to hear a lot more about, especially with their respective coaches. So are you going to stand out in any way? And if you are, is it going to be a positive way? And I felt like, honestly, you know, I think he did a great job. I think he answered all the questions that were thrown his way really well. He even had a little funny moment there in the main room, you know, when the person was bringing up, hey, you're picked last and all this, but you have a record of 5-1 against current coaches. And he's like, yeah, well, what was the record again?
Repeat that again for
five
me.
5-1? Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. He's like, now I'm not going to throw a podium at you, like, you know, making a reference to the John Summerall thing. So I like that, and I like the confidence that he has. And, you know, being asked about his aura because there's a viral thing about that, which I'm so sick of using that stupid word.
When aura?
Yeah. And he's just like, I don't, and he even said, quote, I don't know what the hell that means. He's like, but I got me a hot wife. I got me two beautiful daughters. he's like, if it's about my fashion, you know, maybe you can make fun of me for that. He's like, but I can throw, if it's about something else, I can throw Notorious B.I.G. lyrics at you. He's just like, I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm just trying to win. So I feel like he did a great job. I'm not going to say he won the press conference because I hate that cliche.
We've talked so much about how that's so overrated.
It is.
Winning and losing. Even the quote, if it does, gives you in negative raps. And, I mean, as long as you're not out there, Hugh freezing it up, saying we're just trying to make a bowl game, then you feel like there's a decent way that you're walking away with everything.
Yeah, like Bobby Petrino's the best coach Arkansas's had this millennium. And he might be the most boring person to talk to and hear from. So it's like, doesn't just because you do something here doesn't mean you're going to equate to games. It's more for us nerds and the media where we like having fun content to talk about. So, yeah. But I think he did a great job.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Arkansas was one of the seven teams that did not bring a quarterback with them here to Tampa, Florida. Again, we talked about 9 that made it this year. There were 12 that made it last year, 11 the year before. And so does that bring more question marks to the topic of conversation and the depth of the quarterback room? Arkansas is obviously one of those teams that doesn't have their starter completely figured out, at least in terms of the public media. How has that race gone over in Fayetteville?
I mean, publicly, and what's been said from Brian Silverfield and what we saw in spring and everything is like, yeah, it's a competition between KJ Jackson, who a lot of people in the state of Alabama know about, as well as AJ Hill, who was a transfer from Memphis who followed Brian Silverfield along. I'm telling you right now, it's KJ Jackson.
Really?
He's just going to be the starter. You know, and it's not because he's just far and away elite level so much better. It's just looking at it from the big picture. He's a guy that you brought back. He was on Arkansas's team last year. You brought him back. The press conference when Silverfield was hired, he brought Quincy Rhodes with him, which is a huge get because that's honestly the only all-SEC caliber player Arkansas has right now, at least on paper at this point. Huge get, and he was awesome being here. But he also brought KJ Jackson with him to kind of like show off. You don't bring everybody get excited because we got the backup quarterback coming back. It's like, no, you plan on him being the starter.
Sure.
So I just think all those things are there. I think he's done a pretty good job. I think he's got a lot of upside. His athleticism with KJ is great. You know, like, we didn't see a whole lot of good things, just to be honest, in spring. But is it because of, you know, transition to a new offense? Is it because of some, you know, other factors? Who knows? But I think he's got all the upside for whatever a quarterback needs to have.
We're talking with John Neighbors, the man at Inside Arkansas, as well as Locked On Razorbacks, bringing in a new defensive coordinator, Ron Roberts. That's a name that Auburn fans know well. He was the defensive coordinator under Hugh Freeze for year one. How has he changed his scheme, or how has he changed his approach in the years since being on the Plains and now in Fayetteville?
Well, to be honest, it's like Arkansas's defense has been so bad for so long, and honestly, it's weird if you see some of the offensive statistics over the past 5-6 years. And you'd be like, man, if you just saw that, you'd be like, oh, Arkansas probably did really well.
Yeah.
I mean, and I believe it was in the year 2022 or 2023, Arkansas averaged 500 offensive yards a game, pretty balanced of 250, 250 each, and was averaging 37 points per game. They went like 4-8. Like, but it's just, that's because how bad the defense has been. So anything that is a pulse is going to be a little bit above and improvement from what it's been previous years. But specifically with Ron Roberts, what I like about him is that in Arkansas, especially in year one, you're not going to get a bunch of Quincy Rhodes. You're not going to get these five-star just dudes on the outside edge, 6'6", 296 pounds, run 4.3s coming on the edge. Like, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get the big guys in the middle to stop. It's just not going to happen. So what do? You got to get creative. And I think the way that he's gotten creative is he's went a lot of with these hybrid positions. Guys like Jamonte Waller, who is a transfer from Auburn that I've been really impressed by in spring. Guys like Steven Sackham Soles, a transfer from Kentucky, where they're you know, the hybrid of outside lineman, but also a linebacker. But also you have a little bit of a guy who's a linebacker, but he's also a nickel position. And so there's just a lot of creativity, and it's like, oh, well, it sounds great, but is that going to mean it's going to be better? I don't know, but Arkansas's done a lot of other things that's been pretty terrible running a 4-3 basic defense, and that hasn't worked, so why not? What's the worst thing that could happen?
Caden Kittler, Quincy Rhodes Jr., and Sutton Smith, the three names that follow Silverfield here to Tampa. Talk about what those three guys are trying to represent for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, I've already mentioned Quincy. I mean, he was the best player. He was a guy that was basically, I've foregone conclusion, he was going to the NFL last year because he was a borderline first-round pick. At worst, second round. That's where he's being projected at. And so when it was announced he was coming back, I'm like, holy crap, that's insane. So without question, best player, confident player, leader. He's an in-state kid. He's from Arkansas, so huge to get him back. But the other one, of course, with Caden Kittler, he's the center for Arkansas, and he was a transfer from UCF from last season. So he's a holdover. But I think that getting him back, because we all know about continuity means a lot, but you know, oh, well, how much do you need of that from a 2-10 team? You need to blow it up. I think there's got to be a confidence, especially when you have a new quarterback situation and a new offense. That center position, you got to have a leader that can at least handle all that, especially a veteran. And they did a good job of getting him back, and I think it was very important. And then Sutton Smith, you know, he's the guy that's a do-it-all. He's listed as a running back, and, of course, he had a great year last year for Ryan Silford at Memphis, transferred over. But he not only is a running back that runs out of the pot there, but he also takes screen passes. He also does kick returns, punt returns. He does it all. Freak athlete that's, you know, a seasoned veteran. So you just these are important guys for their own roles and their own positions if Arkansas is going to have success.
John, Auburn-Arkansas is such a weird rivalry. The road team has won five of the past six contests. You have the, like, the Gus Malzahn, I'm going to pour the anger of God out on you for the his home state Razorbacks. You had the Bo Nix. Was it a spike? Was it a backwards fumble?
We know what it was, and it was not a spike.
I don't know.
It's just such a weird game. Like, what about these two programs do you see brings that sort of just oddness and just randomness?
I think because both programs were, like, just pissed off the day they were born. Like, just being honest, like, it's not to say they're, like, the same, because they're not. Obviously, Auburn's won a national championship with Cam Newton. They've played national championship games. But both teams, especially over the past 5 years or so, there's a lot of similarities where there just haven't been success. And both teams are trying to find their way, and programs are trying to find their way. But I feel like, you know, you mentioned the road team. That's not just even – you said five out of seven, right?
Five of the past six, yes.
Five of the past six. So you're talking about 12 total years, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time for this to be that way. And you could even take it back further, because I remember in 2002, Fred Talley going to Auburn and running for 241 yards. And Arkansas won, and that Auburn team was really good. I remember in 06, Darren McFadden's kind of coming out party when Auburn's number two. Arkansas went there and won. But then McFadden never beat Auburn at home. It's like, why? That was like the other teams that were worse are the teams you didn't beat. Like, so it doesn't make any sense. But it is fun. And it's also, I feel like every game's been at 11 a.m. as well.
Yes.
I believe this year's is also at 11 a.m. So a tale as old as time. But I think there's just similarities. I think there's always connections. I think there's been a lot of players recruited from in-states. So, yeah, it's always going to be a wild one, but a fun one for the most part.
John Neighbors here talking a little bit of Arkansas football here with us live on Radio Row, Digital Drive, whatever the case you want to call it. And if I tell you that Arkansas wins possibly six games in year one with Coach Silverfield, what in specific, if there's one thing, what needs to happen with this Hogs team in 2026?
Well, the least favorite stat that I have, and I'm hoping it changes, is that since 2012, Arkansas 17-49 in one possession games. 17-49.
We have a good one. They've lost. Auburn's lost 12 of the last 13. And so.
Oh, so look at this. We're similar again.
We get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's like in 2012, that was when the Bobby Petrino motorcycle wreck happened, and Arkansas hasn't gotten out of the ditch since, literally. But it's like, it's a thing where if you just cut those losses in half, 49 losses, cut them in half, that's roughly an average of an extra two wins a season. And just imagine what the programs looked like. So, what it really comes down to is Arkansas last year went 2-10. They should have gone 8-4. Like,
yep.
They were that good of a team, but they just kept shooting themselves in the foot and doing dumb stuff. So it sounds cliche, but that's really what it is. If they're going to get to that point, it's because they don't turn the ball over, they don't commit penalties, they don't make bad decisions coaching wise, they make their field goals late in games. They do the things that you're supposed to do as a fundamentally sound football team, because I think competitively, talent wise, they'll be there to win some of these games, and a lot of games are winnable. But you got to stop shooting yourself in the foot and just crapping your pants as soon as it gets tough. You got to come out there and actually do the job, and that's going to be the biggest thing. If they do that, and if they are a team that's based on that, which Silverfield's been preaching, I think there's a chance they go to a bowl game.
My man, we appreciate your time. Real quickly, before we let you go, plug everything you got where everybody can go. If they're not Arkansas Razorback fans, to keep all of our keep up with all of your great coverage.
Yeah, check us out at Inside Arkansas on YouTube as well as social media. We do live streams and podcasts of all sorts. I do the Locked On Razorbacks podcast, number one Razorback podcast in all the world. I'm also on John Neighbor's show on social media and everything. I'll tell you what, as I say to everybody, it's like, if you can't find me, that's a you problem, because I'm obnoxiously on everything. So, but yeah, love the Hogs, love talking about them, and love talking with you guys. I appreciate it.
Great on the karaoke stage as
yes.
well.
Let's not get crazy, all right?
You.
Let's not start that rumor.
Yeah, we've had Angel stuck in our head all day, so.
Very
I am
much
sorry
so.
For that. That's
that
my bad.
And a little bit of, was it Adele last night as well?
Yeah, we don't bring that one up.
I mean,
I wasn't ready. My voice wasn't
some
tight.
Of the notes were hit, and that's all that matters. It got the crowd involved. It woke them up a little bit. So
yeah,
we'll take our wins when we can get them.
That's what I do, as I wake up the crowd with terrible singing, just like the Razorbacks can wake up the crowd with terrible football. That's what we do.
We're cutting the losses. We're getting the one-score wins. That's all that matters.
Yes, sir.
John, we appreciate your time. Looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate you.
halfway through hour number two. You're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, final day live from Digital Drive in Tampa, Florida. Sitting here beautifully as the table's slowly beginning to file down here on the final day as everybody's making their way back home. But we know one guy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, isn't going anywhere for quite some time. You hear him every single day, or every single Thursday, rather, at this time. Usually our closer for Thursday, now kind of our closer for SEC Media Days. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, sitting down, taking some time to join us actually face to face here this afternoon. Appreciate you for taking some time to join us.
Yeah, guys, good to be on. It's been a long, busy week, but man, this week always gets you in the spirit, the mood for football season, and it's that warning sign that it's almost here.
Yeah, it feels like it's the unofficial start to the college football season. Talking about this earlier today and kind of throughout the week as well, don't want to put too much stock into last year's media days, but it felt a little bit mundane. It felt a little bit, I don't want to use the word boring, but lackadaisical. And I think it was just because everybody kind of knew where they were at. This year, right. It's so different. You have so many different tiers of coaches. You have the Kirby Smarts and the Steve Sarkisians that are not going anywhere. Right. You have kind of the first-year guys, and then you have kind of that middle tier as well. Did this feel any different to you? Any more energy, any more drama or anything that for this media days rather than last year's?
Yeah, I want to say, was last year the year they brought back every coach? Yeah, it did feel like it was a little bit of staleness last year. And, you know, this year you got five new coaches, six if you count Lane. But, yeah, I think that was entertaining because for a lot of those guys, it's the first time we're hearing them speak. So we don't really know the personalities of Summerall and Golish and those guys. So getting to hear them talk publicly, you know, in this kind of atmosphere. And I said it too, it's the first time these guys have spoken to a room that big. Sure, in a lot of cases. I mean, half these guys are coming from the American Conference where the AAC media days, I think, is at a, you know, in the lobby of a hotel somewhere, and that's kind of it. You know, three media entities covering that. But, yeah, deal, and yeah, we found out, you know, John Summerall, he's a big personality, and he's a guy that, you know, brings that energy and is very much, you know, he's almost like a player up there still, the old linebacker mentality. But found him very interesting. I found Alex Golish very interesting. You know, that's a guy I think he's not going to be afraid to. If they're good, I think he's going to be cocky about it, and that's going to make a great personality in the SEC. Ryan Silverfield, I think, is interesting in Arkansas. We'll see what he's able to do there. I think it's going to be a tough go in year one there. But, yeah, you're right. And then, of course, the Lane Circus on Thursday, just absolutely, you know.
How strategical of the SEC to put Lane Kiffin and Texas on the final day, knowing to keep everybody around?
Oh, you noticed that?
Yeah,
I mean they did it. They did it by design. They wanted to keep everybody. I moved my flight to later tonight, and everybody I talked to said they moved their flight. So it's or some are staying an extra night. So I think they did that on purpose. You know, it feels like the last day in a lot of, you know, years past was a throwaway day. It always felt like Kentucky. Mark Stoops was thrown in there. You got like 20 media members in the room. So, yeah, you're right. I think there's way more people still here on a late Friday afternoon or late Thursday afternoon than have been in previous years with Lane and Sark being here.
LSU Day. I know that's somebody that you cover the SEC, but again, also your ties to Baton Rouge, your thoughts on everything that Lane Kiffin had to say and how he just also strategically made his speech 8 times longer than everybody else's, only 4 questions to the main media. You feel like that was intentional, again, talking about not being on social media as well. Yeah. Is that an LSU thing? Is that a little bit of a Knox Kiffin? He talked about the challenge that his son gave him, or is that a little bit more of just him trying to get the applause of personal growth?
Yeah, I think that was absolutely strategic. I think he did that on purpose. He wants to, you know, he wanted to answer the least amount of questions he could, so... Yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see what he does if he stays off social media permanently or if he gets back on it. But yeah, I thought pretty interesting too. I mean, like I think candidly, I think him and Pete are good. Like they said, they text all the time, and it's like and I'm sure there's probably some texts like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you talking to this recruiter? So I think there's some of that, but I think they're way more on better terms than people are trying to make this out to be. Oh, it's an all-out war. Yeah, that night when they play, it will be. Both guys will want to win more than anything, but I think when the game's over, they're both going to put their arms around each other and still be cool, I think.
That and Kiffin leaving gives gives Golding a job.
Yeah,
as
no,
a head coach.
No doubt. And let's be real. I don't know if any programs were out there knocking down the door to try to hire Pete Golding prior to this. So that's a big part of this too. I did find it funny that Lane revealed that Pete moved into his house and he still had control of the Ring camera on the front door.
Oh gosh!
And he told a story that he guess there was some story out there that Pete Golding was going to visit some recruit. And Lane was like, I knew it wasn't true because I knew he was sitting on the couch in the living room because I just saw him on the Ring doorbell cam. So,
oh man,
a little creepy voyeur-esque there. I think if I'm Pete, I change that Ring camera.
Oh, for sure. Chris, you know, we talked a little bit last week about just who are the question marks coming into this week. I know, for one, Will Stein, Ryan Silverfield, out of the new crop of head coaches, were a big question mark. Seeing if Jeff Lebby could make some noise in year three in his third SEC media days. Was there anyone that came out of nowhere that kind of surprised you with what they were able to say at the podium or in the meeting rooms and any media availability that they did?
I did love Mike Elko's response, probably the quote of the week when he was asked, you know, how do you keep your players from, I think it was like something like, how do you keep them from getting complacent? You know, it's an 11-win season at A&M, historic season. And he goes, yeah, I show them the trophy case. It's empty.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's
dust
a great,
bunnies.
It's Boom. A great quote. And it's a self, you know, it's knocking yourself. It's knocking your program. But I think it's also a harsh truth. And I think that's great that Mike Elko's able to recognize that and say that. And, you know, because I don't know if Jimbo Fisher would have said that. Heck, Jimbo Fisher wasn't he printing up, like, a trophy or something
yeah,
the day
like
he got the job?
Yeah, like 20XX. Like,
yeah, we're
going to
be
now.
The national champion of 1 year. We just don't know what year yet. It's just like, come on, man. So I love the attitude of Elko, the blue-collar mentality. But, yeah, I thought that was probably the quote of the week at Media Days. And, you know, it's funny. There's this top tier of teams up there that – you know, you can make a case for any of them to hoist the trophy in Atlanta in December, whether it's Texas, whether it's Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, Oklahoma, A&M. I mean,
keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
in Alabama, Auburn.
There we go.
Just, you know, but it really does feel that it's kind of open. I know the sexy pick is going to be, I think everybody's going to pick Georgia and Texas to get to Atlanta, which is probably right. You know, we'll see how the schedule plays out, but like I said, there's a bunch of those teams in the conversation up top.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, taking some time to join us live here on Digital Drive. Face-to-face doesn't happen very often. We appreciate your time, as always. What, if anything, do you think that Alex Golish brought to the media? Again, whether that's him, whether that's the three players that he brought alongside him. A lot of media, it's the first time seeing Byron Brown in person. If there was one thing that you think the media took from Auburn's media day to give them a little bit more respect going into the 2026 season, what would that be?
Well, I got to sit down with Champ Anthony, and I you know, really – really great guy. He was about to I'm Catholic, but he was about to convert me to whatever religion he was. I mean, he was telling me about his Lord and Savior about 10 times in the interview. I'm like,
that's
come
awesome.
On, man, let's go. But he – I find it very interesting, too. Look at a projected depth chart, like our lads or one of those out there. He's not even a starter.
Yeah.
Like, he's – I'm like, where do you play? He goes, well, it depends week to week, game by game. And his love for DJ Durkin, I mean, he said when he got hurt, Durk, is, you know, was his rock and the guy that was there for him. And, you know, I just find that very interesting. And what that tells me is Auburn's got depth, that a guy they brought to media days isn't even projected to be a starter. So I'm excited to see what this defense does. The mission is very easy for Alex Golish. Put, you know, score points. That's it, man. Find ways to put the ball in the end zone. And I think they're going to have a chance to win some games because I think this defense is going to be nasty with Dirk.
We're talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And Chris, going into the season, did Media Days change any of your opinions in terms of, like, looking at a win total? I think Auburn's right now is 6.5, and we hear the halls, hey, go higher. Maybe it needs to be closer to 7.5. Do you agree with that sentiment at all?
I talked it out. Somebody asked me, they said, make a prediction. I said 7-5. And then as I ran through the schedule, I gave them the swing game at Tennessee, because it's early and they're going to be still working in that new quarterback, and Auburn's got, you know, the quarterback thing figured out in Byron Brown. So I gave them that swing game. That's a swing game to me, but I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say 7-5. Auburn fans should be expecting 7-5, and that's, you know, maybe not going to get everybody super excited and running to buy season tickets and all that, but come on, Hugh Freeze is trying to sell us. We're just trying to become bowl eligible. Well, okay, like if that's where the bar was lowered, then 7-5 is raising the bar somewhat. And I think it'd be a good foundational year for Alex Gulsh. Now, look, if a few things go their way and they catch some breaks and they get a couple turnovers against LSU in that early morning game, yeah, and, you know, just little things like that, the Iron Bowl is going to be tough. We'll see where they are quarterback-wise by the end of the year. You almost wish you got Alabama early.
Sure.
I feel like you have a better chance. But it's in Tuscaloosa. It's hard to give them that one. At Georgia is tough, although they've been competitive with Georgia the last few years. So, you know, I think what – Auburn was close in every game last year except for Georgia, and it was, what, 20-10?
Yeah, it was 10
points. It's not exactly like they blew you out.
Yeah.
You were in that one. So, yeah, it's so hard to say because we just have not seen it. We haven't seen it on the field. And, you know, I think week one against Baylor would be a nice test. I'm glad they get Baylor and not, like, Presbyterian State or something.
Sure.
Like, it's a decent enough opponent to get a good measuring stick
right
on how good this team would be. Now, I thought last year winning at Baylor was a good measuring stick win. Turned out not to be. But yeah, just from the concept of Byron Brown, all these USF guys, how do they mesh, you know, with all these new SEC pieces, that's going to be the true test.
You said seven wins wouldn't necessarily get people out of their seats. We talked about it. Tripp got his driver's license the last time that Auburn won seven games in a season.
Wow.
And so makes people feel really old, the fact that it's been 7 years since seven wins
have been. Has it really been that long?
It's been seven before COVID.
Wow.
Yeah, there's been a couple 6-6 regular seasons with bowl losses, and then you had the 6 and 4 COVID year. But yeah,
maybe
Mr.
I
Bo Nix,
maybe I go 6-6.
I mean, you could lowball and go. I mean, hey, just maybe it is bowl eligible. Maybe that's the overall mentality that needs to happen. But no, we appreciate you for taking some time to join us. If there is one, I guess, overall statement or one overall sentence that kind of describes this year's media days, what would you say that it is working its way to 2026?
I don't know. I don't know if I can come up with a word or a phrase, but this was cool, man. Tampa did a great job
of
hosting this event. I don't know how much the listeners care that they treated the media really well, but, you know, and had great media parties and events and all that, but it's what makes the SEC different. They're not doing this in the other conferences. They're not taking care of the media and having media nights and free food and free booze and all this other stuff. So, yeah.
We did notice that there were a lot more only waters taken away from the coolers here this morning.
Well, they had, you know, the electrolyte Gatorades all week. They understand we like to drink. It's the South. We like to party a little bit.
Chris, we appreciate your time. We're looking forward to, again, continuing this friendship, continuing this relationship here every single Thursday on the line. Looking forward to talking to you again next week where we're able to submit some of our ballots, hopefully get those responses as well, and be able to get even more down into the legitimate talking season of football as we count down the days.
Absolutely, guys. Don't put Auburn number one on your ballot.
Why not? I mean, that's at least we're not like some of our other friends that's maybe listening right now that's put other teams at number one for years and got in trouble for it. So.
Yeah, I know one of those guys.
Yes, yep. It's safe to say we know one of those guys as well. Chris, we appreciate your time. Looking forward to everything, I guess, before we head out. So, again, fantastic coverage for you all week. You said you got Champ Anthony. I know before we came on air, you said all three LSU Tigers as well. So tell everybody where they can go to find all of the coverage throughout the week.
And I know Auburn fans will love us. I got a one-on-one with Kalen DeBoer, so you can check
that
out.
There we go.
Locked on SEC, wherever get your podcast.
Awesome, brother. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, fellas.
That was Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, taking some time to join us here live from Digital Drive in Tampa, Florida. Again, he mentioned it, a big-time shout-out. We'll talk a little bit more about this to close out the show, as well as tomorrow, which will be a very, very fun day as well. But a big-time shout-out to the SEC for taking care of all of the media. Again, the events that we've had every single night, essentially the catering with all of the beverages. Again, he mentioned it, the Gatorades and the Gator lights and everything, all the electric lights and everything, as well as all of the waters and the Dr. Peppers as well, which are carrying us through the Thursday edition of On the Line. But how about that? He's talking about, again, it feels as if the confidence, at least off the field, is rising for the Auburn Tigers, making it to where if things go your way, if you're able to win a couple of those one-score games that you have not been able to get in the past, makes it to where there should be an exciting season here coming up in Jordan-Hare.
I mean, it's crazy to sit here and think that we're looking at an Auburn season, and the first worry is they might be good, but the schedule is going to hurt them. It's the opposite. It's the schedule helps them. The schedule sets them up for success. I agree with what he said about if they had Alabama early, Kentucky, Florida State, circle that. But I think that it's going to be so interesting to see now. It's can they back it up on the field? Do they have the talent? Well, last year, if they have the talent, do they have the schedule? Do they have the coaching? If they can get those, I think Auburn, again, he said 7-5, maybe to be disappointed about that. There's only a few Auburn fans that'd be disappointed with 7-5. I am not one of them.
And if it is, it's because of what the recruiting, because of Alex Golish, because of what Media Days has taught you. Again, I've talked about if the lines weren't public, I think the media would put Auburn at 7.5 instead of 6.5. But with that being said, if the frustration is, okay, we didn't hit the mental over of over 7.5 wins, whatever the case may be, by no means are we selling ourselves short and saying, yeah, a bowl game is all that you really need, because, I know what that quote has done in the past, especially said from the head coach, but you get to 7 wins. You get to that 8-win mark. Or if you go, like what Jordan Rogers said, who we talked with yesterday, talking about how bullish he was on the Tigers, he said 8 or 9 confidently and talked about, I love this matchup. I love what these guys have. I love what Byron Brown brings, and I don't care about the throwing motion. It's accurate. It's on time. And there's one of 12 guys ever to throw for 3,000, rush for 1,000 in a single season. It seems as if, again, the positive buzz, which, again, will be a little bit restricted from the overall excitement, but for those that don't cover Auburn on a day-to-day basis, it seems as if that positive buzz is working towards what is at least a beneficial year in year one for Alex Golish and the Auburn Tigers.
I can't disagree with that. I think that Auburn, coming out of this media days, I'm a little bit more confident in Auburn, and we'll break that all down tomorrow and the rest of till the games actually start, obviously. But again, I think it's nice that it's not us drinking the orange and blue Kool-Aid, for sure.
Yeah,
it's everybody. So, I mean, hey, I'll take it.
Definitely is. And, again, this was a really cool show as well because, again, the four teams that went today, obviously Auburn does not play Texas, but by the time you get to any of these three teams that we have talked about today, LSU, Arkansas, and Mississippi State, the earliest game that you'll play from one of the teams here is LSU on October 24th. That is what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 7 games into the season. There's not going to be too many underlying question marks about what this team is. You're going to know what the quarterback game looks like. You're going to know what the offensive line looks like. You're going to know what the receiving core looks like. You're going to know how good this defense truly is, even with the plethora of transfers as well as the retainment with DJ Durkin. You're going to have a lot more exclamation marks, hopefully, because, again, there won't be those question marks. It'll just be more so the execution, and you'll be able to say the exact same thing about those three teams. Again, LSU, Arkansas, and Mississippi State, it's all about the execution, and then which team can get hot down the stretch.
Oh, definitely agree with that. I think that it's interesting. I didn't even know that point, that they're all late-season teams.
Yeah.
You will know a little bit more about the Auburn Tigers by that point.
Rather than yesterday's show, where it was, okay, you have Florida in week 3, you then have Ole Miss in week 8, and then after that, you have Alabama and the Iron Bowl to close out the season. That could be 3 different Auburn teams. I guess not as much so because of the Ole Miss in this conversation that we're having, but in comparison to Florida versus Ole Miss, it's going to be a very different team that you see on the field wearing the orange and blue, comparable to, again, yeah, the day like today. There's not going to be too many question marks, but again, Auburn, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Samford. That's what November looks like for the Tigers before the Iron Bowl, before you head up to Tuscaloosa, where you mentioned it, talking with Gene Chizik, which feels like 2 weeks ago. That was Monday morning where we were able to talk with the former with the national championship winning coach from 2010 and 2011, and how he was the last coach to be able to get a win in Tuscaloosa wearing the orange and blue. And so, again, that November calendar looks really good, and Chris was talking about, again, that early morning, if you get that swing game, or the early season rather, you get that swing game against Tennessee, it sets Auburn up to where, again, I continue to use the word excitement, I continue to use the word buzz, but you feel like that is what this feels like here on Digital Drive when you talk about the guys down on the plains.
Yeah. They've got all the tools for success. It's going to be the matter of, can they put it all together October, November, and September?
Again, it's so funny that you can mark those into certain months. You can almost chop that up to what this schedule will look like for the Tigers in 2026. We'll come back. We're going to take a break. Tripp's going to work his way over to the fridge one final time. Chug a Dr. Pepper. Get the energy going to, again, shout out our amazing sponsor. Shout out our amazing listenership engagement as well, as we come back and wrap up everything from Digital Drive here on this Thursday afternoon.
You You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Thursday edition of On the Line, live from Digital Drive in Tampa, Florida, inside the Marriott, right on the water, right behind us. And, man, the emotion hits, and the emotion that is greater than tired. Right? I mean, this
is... We're tired already.
Very much so. But it has been an incredible week of coverage. I mean, this has been so much fun. Again, my second time here on the air for SEC Media Days, your first time here, again, being able to dive into what is SEC Media Days, and I thought that it was a really solid week. Again, you feel as if there are some of the coaches that kind of go through the motions of what coach speak sounds like, but because there are so many first-year head coaches, there's so many teams that have question marks going into the season, you really do feel as if a lot of the coaches were able to dive into what their programs are expecting in year one, trying to build in year one, the Auburn Tigers being one of those teams. And of the year one teams, man, again, I feel as if Auburn put themselves in a really good spot, a really good image in terms of the public media. We've talked about the win totals. We've talked about all three players. We've talked about just about everything we can talk about here on Digital Drive, and it has been an absolutely incredible week. Again, we could not do this without the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn. They were the ones that fueled us up. They were the ones that set us back down. They were the ones that got all of this for you here coverage-wise. Again, it's been an absolutely incredible week, a very, very fun work week. But excited to be back in the studio tomorrow, because yes, tomorrow is going to be arguably the most fun in terms of engagement throughout the week, right? I mean, you feel like you load up on so much content over, again, our 8 hours specifically on the line from Monday to Thursday, to where Friday is going to be, man, you almost close your laptop and you can just sit and really talk ball, talk about what you learned, talk about some of the teams you didn't really have as much time to dive into. It's going to be a whole lot of fun tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be able to hear from some good people and be able to understand kind of what is going on around the SEC that we may have missed. You know, there's only so much we can cover. I can't be on the air talking to you and be sitting in the meeting room right now. Steve Sarkisian is up there. But look, I think that it's been a fun week. It's been my first time, as we've said many a times, but it's going to be a hard bar to clear for legitimately any other SEC Media Days from here on out. A big shout out as well to our guy in the studio, man in the sticks all week, Brandon Gurgley. Take tomorrow to rest, buddy, because you have been the real MVP, coach. And so shout out to them. Shout out to our good friends at Auburn Network and Radio Alabama for putting us all on their social medias, proving that maybe we don't have a face for radio. It's just been so much fun, and I'm excited to do it tomorrow with you, partner.
7 hours of local coverage all week long right here on ESPN 106.7. Again, one final big shout out today. We'll talk about them all tomorrow as well, but the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn for fueling us up, for making this entire week possible. We appreciate everybody for being here with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Man, sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we're back tomorrow to talk all about them and recap a fantastic week down here in Tampa, Florida, and we hope you'll be there to join us.